you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk podcast. I am Pat Boyle. On this week's episode, we chat with the newest member of Hockey's Hall of Fame, Doug Wilson. We discuss how he got that announcement, what time it was, how many years it had been since he waited, and at some point, did he think it just wasn't in the cards that he would reach hockey's holy grail? We discuss his first roommate with the Blackhawks, Stan Mikita. Doug shares how Stan ate his meat. Spoiler alert, very, very rare. What was it like to go up against Wayne Gretzky and then play with him? Plus, Doug predicts which former Blackhawk should join him next in the Hall of Fame. It's all coming up on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Doug, first of all, congratulations on becoming a Hockey Hall of Famer. I'm sure that never gets old to hear that. We saw the reaction with Lanny McDonald over the phone. You put your wife, Kathy, on the phone so she could hear the news directly from him. Scale of 1 to 10 on the surprise meter, 10 being jaw on the floor stunned. Where did that rate for you?
Probably an 11. With the timing of it all, I mean, it was came out of left field.
And you had a full house with you. You had your some of your children there, your grandkids. What was it like to give them the news and to kind of celebrate with them?
Well, first of all, I mean, Lanny was kind enough to let me put my wife on the phone, and she was in shock. And then we called all the kids and grandkids in. And I think when they all came in, they thought there was some bad news that was coming just by the look in their face. So when my wife shared it with them, it went from concern and fear to pretty emotional and exciting. And the grandkids in particular, the two granddaughters, weren't sure what was going on. They went and jumped in the pool. So I had to go in the pool after them.
Well, there's a lot going on after that announcement. You got Zoom calls and media and Hall of Fame responsibilities. You had probably a pretty excited house there. Was there a moment when things settled down and it really sunk in that you were indeed reaching hockey's holy grail?
You know, I'm not sure it's fully sunk in. I mean, the number of calls and the people, especially a lot of the really good friends in Chicago that were so close to me, the families of the Magnusons and Mikitas and Bob Verdi and Pat Foley, and, you know, it goes on and on. So it's slowly sinking in, I guess. But what it does make you do is reflect back on all the people that were there for you and helped you during not only your career on the ice, but off the ice, and guidance. And, you know, they say Stan Mikita, Keith Magnusson were like second fathers to me. And there was just so many people that just stepped in to keep me going the right direction and believing in me. And there's not enough time to thank them all.
All those texts, all those phone calls that you've received over the last few weeks, it's hard to single out one or two, but are there a couple that hit a certain note or a chord with you where you reminisced and it just brought back some incredible memories for you?
Yeah, I mean, different ones for different reasons. My high school teacher in Winnipeg, who helped me through certain things, Brian Kilray, my junior coach, is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Bob Verde. Bob Verde is a special friend because, a couple of years ago, I had a good family moment in San Jose where they're putting me in the San Jose Sports Hall of Fame. And it was also the exact same time that the Chicago Cubs were winning the World Series for the first time. Bob Verde came out to San Jose to be with us and our family instead of being there. And you can't put into words when people do things like that. Pat Foley called, and he's a wordsmith, and he couldn't even speak the emotions and everything. So it was, there's just so many calls like that. Kevin Magnuson from the Magnuson family, the Makita girls, obviously my own family. I mean, you truly reflect and try and put into words feelings that you have. It's pretty difficult to do.
We had Brian Burke on the podcast last week, and he discussed the Hall of Fame process. And he talked about a letter that is sent to the committee that kind of starts the process of reviewing your case. Who is the person that did that for you?
I don't know.
Don't know?
No, I'm telling you, this came out of left field, and even the process, I'll be honest with you, and I say this with all due respect, because just being considered and mentioned with those players year after year meant the world to me. And after 24 years, you're not exactly sitting by the phone. So I couldn't even tell you the process. Didn't even know who all the members on the selection committee were until I looked at it after. So I don't know. I will get that answer for you.
Yeah, that'll be a special moment for you when you find that out. Over the last 24 years, was there a point where you thought, all right, it's just, Kathy, it's probably just not in the cards, and let's on the day that this is supposed to happen, let's just go about our business and not, like you said, not sit and wait by the phone?
We never really waited by the phone, because you don't come into playing this game for this reason. I mean, this is just a bonus. And I mean this. When I look at the Hall of Fame, I think of the Stan Mikitas and the Bobby Hulls and Bobby Orrs and Gretzky's and Messiers and Lemieux and on and on. And so this was just not something that I'd really thought about. I think some of my family members and close friends obviously probably put more thought into it, but this game's been so good to me that I never look back at anything that should be given beyond that. And that's what makes hockey so special, just the people that are in it. And I think nobody thinks they're bigger than the game. And when something like this happens, it's more of a family and journey recollection than it is anything else for me anyhow.
Let's go back to the late 70s. So you're drafted in the first round, sixth overall, back in 77. As a rookie walking into that Blackhawks dressing room, what was that experience like for a 20-year-old?
Well, I got to tell you, the very first thing that happened when I came into Chicago, I checked into the Bismarck Hotel, and my roommate was Stan Mikita. I mean, I'm sitting there in awe, and I'm looking over and said, and my brother played for the Montreal Canadiens and, won four cups. And I was fortunate enough to have an amazing big brother that included me in all those things. But this is Stan Mikita. And as I mentioned to somebody else, I hope he didn't think it was creepy, but I'm just staring. Like, I'm having trouble sleeping. I've got, one of the greatest players of all time. And Stan went on to be more than just a teammate. I lost my father suddenly and after a few years in the league. And he was basically took me into his family. And both he and Keith Magnuson in particular, and Bob Verde, Billy O'Rourke, certain people really just brought me in and took good care of me. And that was always the memories I had in Chicago. Your first pro team, obviously, but just the quality of people, the Cliff Corals, the Dale Talons, the Bob Murrays. I mean, the list, Tony Esposito, it just goes on and on. Denny Savard, the quality of people that cared about each other made my journey memorable, but I think the fans certainly connected all those people too.
Was that by design to pair rookies with, Mikita was 37 when you got there. Was that the norm to put a rookie with an established vet, or how did you guys end up being roommates? Do you know?
Yeah, I would imagine it was Bob Pulford was doing that. Pulley was pretty hard nosed and probably taught us a lot about the defensive game, and there's four of us that played on the Blackhawk teams that are general managers in the league. So I think he put a lot of thought into that type of thing. Putting me with Stan Mikita was one of the greatest gifts I ever could have had, because he taught us not only everything about hockey, but about life. And in particular, the charity work that he did, he would take me along with him just to realize you make a living by what you get, you make a life by what you give. Stan and Maggie and those guys just lived by that, and a tremendous influence on all of us.
He also showed you some of his eating habits. I saw a story where you said that Makita actually ate raw steak. Can you elaborate on that? Was that like at the dinner table, at a hotel? How would that go about?
Well, both, like on the road. He'd just, you know, 1 second on each side. But I used to go to their house for dinner a lot, and Jill would go to the butcher shop, put the meat on the counter, and a couple of kids would eat it raw too. They'd eat it right out of the bag with no cooking. I'm looking and going, what? Not one thing that I learned or followed on. I like it cooked a little bit more than that anyhow.
So in your early years, did you lean on him most, or were there other, what other teammates did you lean on to kind of help you not only get established in the league, but to deal with what goes on outside of the rink?
Well, again, I had the benefit of having my older brother who had shared, you know, a lot of the stories from Montreal, but Stan certainly was at the top of the list. Keith Magnuson, I don't think there's a finer person that I've ever met in my life than Keith Magnuson and that entire family. Cliff Coral, same thing, you know, Reggie Kerr, Tony Esposito. I mean, all these people, Dale Talon, Murph, Savvy, I mean, Steve Larmer. I mean, you go through it that you're really fortunate when you have people like that come into your lives that you can trust, that are honest with you, care about you. And, you know, the greatest gift anybody can give you is their time. And when people like that, you know, spend their time and share their wisdom or experience or knowledge with you, you'd be a fool not to listen and learn.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In your fifth season, you captured the Norris Trophy. You scored 39 goals that year. Finished ninth in the MVP voting, second in goals on the team behind Secord, and second in points behind Savard. What was that season like for you?
You know what? It was one of those years that you know, things started off really well. Obviously, you know, you score in goals, and to me, I think there's things that you value more than scoring goals, but there's a lot of goals, a lot of points. There was a moment, I think we were in Vancouver, I got hit in the face with a shot and broke my jaw. And my jaw wired for 6 or 7 weeks and lost about 20 pounds. So between my wife feeding me whatever she can get through a straw, and Stan and Maggie and those guys putting some concoctions together on the road, I kept on playing during that time. But it was just one of those years that the numbers certainly all fell into place. I personally feel that I thought I had a better year the following year, where not just the numbers, but you know, in the D zone and penalty killing and all those things. But I think what the year brings to you is when something like that happens, you raise your own expectations and you want to, you know, play at a higher level for a long period of time. And it was also a year that was one of the last things my father was able to do before he passed away was join us at the Norris celebration. So a lot of things about that year I remember, not just as a hockey player, but as a person growing up and going through some challenges.
14 years with the Blackhawks. You've already mentioned a lot of your teammates during that time. Do you have a favorite?
Favorite teammate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfair.
It is. And I'll ask you to pick your favorite grandchild next. No,
yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, I can't go there. I mean, but just I just remember people, as I say, at a special time being there. And you remember when things are tough, that's when you really find out about people. And I had some, you know, the Makitas and Magnusons and Birdies and people like that. All those people guided me the right direction where it was a challenging time. So that's really what stands out to me.
A lot of games, a lot of milestones in those 14 years, playoffs every year, just like a model of consistency. But there was that one guy in the league in Edmonton, number 99. Do you think about that run you guys had and how it might have been different if Gretzky wasn't in the picture?
Well, you know, at the time you didn't, because, you know, you're a competitor and you just challenge and know that you can beat them and believe that your team could have. And, you know, they were a great team. You know, Glenn Sather was became a wonderful friend of mine. I played for him in the Canada Cup. And I tell you what, I got to play with Gretzky and Messier and Kevin Lowe and Paul Coffey. It's a lot more fun playing with them than against them. and you truly don't realize, not just, you know, Gretz is one of the greatest that ever played, but they had a whole group of guys that could beat you many ways. And even their goaltender, Grant Fuhr, was one of the best in the league. So they built a special team. There's obviously, I saw them several dynasties, the Islanders dynasty, and growing up watching the Canadiens dynasty. So you got to respect and tip your hat to great organizations and great franchises. But, you know, we thought we were as good as anybody, and I mean, we kept running into some pretty dominant teams.
You played your entire Hawks career at Chicago Stadium. Many people say it was, you know, one of the biggest advantages in all of sport. It was intimidating for the visiting team. What was it like to play in the old barn on a night it was absolutely rocking?
Unbelievable. I got to tell you, you're standing out there for the national anthem, standing on the blue line, and the ice is actually moving. It's reverberating. It is rocking. And I remember looking at other teams, their rookies coming in for the first 5 minutes, they were just scared the crap out of them. And we had a big advantage if we could get a forecheck going and get the crowd going, but there was no building like that. You know, I played in the old Olympia and Boston Garden and all those rinks, the old Forum and Maple Leaf Gardens, but Chicago Stadium, you know, if that couldn't get you going and get your heart going, there's something wrong with you. And the proximity to the fans, they were right on top of you, and you'd get to go out and, you know, meet all the fans and hanging with Stan. Obviously, you'd get to meet a lot of pretty interesting people, but there is nothing like playing at Chicago Stadium.
Can you pick somebody when you were out with Stan, you know, probably from a different walk of life, whether it was an entertainer, another athlete from a different sport that stands out when you were out with Makita on a particular night?
Yeah, I went to a charity golf tournament. Here's the foursome, and you can obviously figure out who's at the bottom rung of this one. There's myself, Stan Makita, Bobby Hull, and Dick Butkus, all in a car together, right? And I'm sitting going, somebody doesn't fit here.
A lot of good times I bet you in that foursome.
There's some stories.
So, of course, you've been general manager with the Sharks since 2003, and it's been 10 years since 2010. The two teams you played for, battling it out on the ice to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. What was that like for you at the time?
You know what? At the time, you just zeroed in on your team and what's going on. But, you know, you always, you know, my wife's from Chicago. All the kids were born in Chicago. Chicago's got a special place in your heart. Looking at that jersey and uniform is one of the special ones in all of sports. So you look back at it, and it was a tough series. They had a heck of a team. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien, they had guys playing on their second and third line that were lad. They had a really good hockey team. No, we wanted to kick their butt. There's no doubt. But you gotta give them credit. It was they beat us straight up, but it was, it's always interesting when the Hawks play the Sharks, even to this day. I played my 1,000th game against the Chicago Blackhawks at the Cow Palace, which, so things kind of line up strangely sometimes.
That's funny how that happens, isn't it?
You know, and then even to get the call on June 24th, you know, I wore number 24, and after 24 years, I looked over at the clock. It was 11:24 when Lanny called. So I'm going,
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm going, that's strange. Like, I'm just
That's crazy.
Yeah, it just lined up in one of those ways. And, you know, there's people that believe in those numbers and things like that. Maybe I should start looking at that.
Yeah, right. Play it. Play the lotto.
There you go.
Has Steve Larmer called out? Has he reached out to you since the call?
Yep. Yeah.
And, what was that conversation like?
Alarms is just, you know, he's a man of few words. He's a special friend, and he should be in next. I mean, he was a great player. He was one of the best two-way players I ever played with or against, and truly an amazing hockey player in person.
Well, let's hope he joins you in Toronto there someday. Anything you would like to say to Blackhawks fans as we wrap this up, Doug?
It was a privilege to play in front of them in the Chicago Stadium. As they say, all my family started there. All the kids were born there, and the friends and messages I've received in the last few weeks has been overwhelming. And as they say, privileged to play in this league, to play for an original six team like the Chicago Blackhawks. Can't thank them enough.
Well, you have a ton of fans here in Chicago, Doug. Again, congratulations on this incredible achievement. A best of health to you and your family.
To everybody there, stay safe, take care of each other.
So that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Our thanks to Doug Wilson for joining us and reminiscing about his time in Chicago and his great achievement reaching Hockey's Hall of Fame. We thank you, as always, for listening. Don't forget to rate us, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
I'm Mike Tirico, and on the next episode of Sports Uncovered, the mysterious disappearance that changed the Super Bowl.
Filled my backpack up with all the liquor from the minibar and took off towards Mexico.
I saw Barrett in the lobby. I ran into him. Not long thereafter, Al called me and said, Barrett's not playing. And I hung up the phone and I looked at my husband and I said, we just lost the game.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Sports Uncovered for free wherever you listen to podcasts.